Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. We pray that you're blessed. And for those of you who have been faithful, some for many years, I greet you and thank the Lord for you. And ask you to join your hearts with mine as we begin the broadcast, and let's just pray for every listener. Father, I do thank you for everyone who, by the Spirit of the Lord, you've brought to share this time together in you and with you. Lord, you said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men to me. That's what Jesus declared. And Lord, we thank you that as we lift up Jesus on this broadcast, Lord, you are going to minister to the needs of those that are earnestly seeking you, those that need your provision, those that need your encouragement. Lord, I thank you that you've given us power, even as you did to your disciples, over all the work of the enemy. We will tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means shall harm us. We, Father, thank you for that same kind of protection today. And Lord, we just release, in the name of Jesus, the anointing to destroy every yoke. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, as I was seeking the Lord for what he would have this week, the Lord just placed some things on my heart, and I believe that there are some listening that really need to hear some of the things I'm going to be sharing because of where you find yourself right now in your life. But let's begin. The Apostle Paul taught that the realities that we experience and enjoy in the spiritual realm were first typified and demonstrated in the natural realm. He declares that in Romans 1:20, which states, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." And 1 Corinthians 15:48 states, "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." Many of God's spiritual principles are made clear by the natural things of life. For example, when in the very beginning, when God created man, he created them male and female and placed them in the garden. He established the family unit. And so we can say that God established, I suppose you could say, a team ministry concept. As a team, they functioned as a family unit. And this is, we see throughout the Word of God, this is God's plan for His people. It's a reflection of what occurs in the Godhead. There is an independence, yet an interdependence. There's a harmonious unity and working together, which is really the hallmark of everything that pertains to God. Think about that. God is not the author of confusion, isn't that right? And so that is a hallmark of the work of the enemy, confusion and strife and negative things. That's directly opposed to the very character of our God, and therefore the characteristics that are found in the kingdom of God. If God established this kind of harmony and unity and working together in the small family unit, it's not unreasonable to see the benefits of this same kind of harmony and unity existing in the body of Christ and in the local houses of God. That's God's plan and His heart and His purpose. Some cannot appreciate the marriage symbolism because as Paul expressed and explained it, because they treat their spouses like hirelings. You know, to some, the wife is not a helpmeet. There's a big difference if you view your wife as a helpmate instead of a helpmeet. Basically, a helpmeet is someone who stands alongside of you. She is someone on equal basis with you to complement you. And a single parent or someone who's unmarried, well, Jesus is your spiritual husband and covering. And so if there is a pattern and a plan in the most basic of human relationships, that of the family, it's logical that a person who has been called to ministry simply wouldn't do as well as he or she could if they were involved in a setting of God's family. In other words, that's why God wants His people to join together, to work together, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. And what I'd like to do right now is just kind of take a spiritual detour, because I realize this might not relate to every one of you at this moment, but I feel by the Spirit there are some listening who need to hear what I'm going to be sharing on protocol, if you will, spiritual protocol. And even though it may not apply to your situation right now, it's good to just hold on to these things and to apply these truths and hold them in your heart, so that if there ever is a situation, that you'll know how to respond in a godly way. All right, having said all that, what does protocol mean? Well, in the natural, by definition, it refers to ceremonial forms and courtesies that are established as proper and correct in official intercourse between heads of state and their ministers. In other words, there is a customary way of responding and of communicating and of carrying on business. Well, in God's kingdom, perhaps you could say there's some spiritual protocol. And I'm just going to highlight some of them, and if they are helpful to you, praise God. The first is the very concept of submission, submission to the authority of God and His will. And we see a beautiful example of this in the life of Jesus. Even though He was very God, He spoke all things into existence. Nothing was created that was not made by Him. Yet He is perfectly and totally and has always been in submission to His Father. And God has placed fivefold ministry in the body of Christ for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints. And so we afford honor to someone in those offices simply because it is God's calling and anointing. And so there should be submission to delegated authority, assuming they, of course, are godly authority. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." In other words, if a pastor's heart is grieved by the conduct or behavior of one of the sheep, well, it's a grief to him, but it's whatever's going on in the life of that sheep, it's not going to be profitable. It's not a good thing. Because why? The responsibility of a pastor or those in fivefold ministry are to walk in humility before God and to do all that they can to see that the sheep are shepherded with a heart after God, as a godly shepherd, as someone who desires to see them grow in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord. And so when one submits to delegate authority, for example, you're joining a church, you are observing divine order and you obey the leadership. And for those who are in leadership, well, every leader should know their place in ministry and stay in it. A good example over the years has been the Billy Graham ministry. He was called an evangelist, and God used him in powerfully tremendous ways, but he was always faithful and obedient to that call, and he didn't jump around and attempt some other arena because of pride issues, and frequently that enters. So God does ordain a place of ministry, and so we need to be obedient to walk in that. And one of the greatest examples of understanding of delegated authority is that of David. Remember, even though God promised him the kingdom, yet he would not lay his hand against Saul, but allowed God to deal with Saul, that he would not remove him. So, beloved, even though there are times that you might not agree with leadership or with brothers and sisters, we must not be an accuser of the brethren. Let God handle his business. That's one of the things I learned so many years ago with Brother Glass. You know, the word says that the wheat will grow up with the tares, and we must allow them and let God do the sifting out, if you will. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so we should pray and follow the word. For example, 1 Timothy 5:1 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father." And Proverbs 6:16-19 says that we are to, we're to honor the order, the body of Christ, the way that God has caused his people to fit together. But that specific proverb says in verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." God hates that, those who would sow discord in the body. And if God is directing you to leave a church or a ministry, it's important that you do it correctly. Do everything you can to receive a blessing when you leave. Just don't run off. And this is pleasing to God, because there may be times in all of our lives that God has us in a place for a season, and then it's time to move on. But it is well to have communication and ask the Lord's blessings. I know over the years, I think I could count on one hand, but there were those who did come to Brother Glass and I and asked to be released with our blessing as God was leading them onward in another direction. So, as I say, I don't know who's listening that may need to hear this, but I think the Lord caused me to share these things so that you would take heed and do the things that would, whatever, however God is leading you, whatever direction, that you'll do it in a godly way, remembering that love is the highest principle. Praise God. Well, the time has just flown by on this broadcast, and I'm going to continue sharing just a little bit more, and then we're going to get into the subject that God placed on my heart. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. The announcer will give you our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best for ever be yours is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.